If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to that psalm, Psalm 121. Hear now the word of our God.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall
preserve.
The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. If you want to turn to John chapter 10. We'll be reading from verse 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. If you want to turn to chapter 23 in the same book.
No, it's the same chapter. It's verses 23.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can't read. Verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answers them, I told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believed not. Because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now as we consider our text, and that is Psalm 121. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and again we acknowledge our dependence, our total need upon thee for everything, and especially now for the ability to concentrate, to focus. Many of us are tired, have had a busy week and maybe even a busy night or a busy morning, and it's so easy to slip into a kind of a comatose state. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would enable us to push past that and to honor you, for it is you who are speaking through this preacher, your word, and we are called to honor and glorify you and to listen when you speak to us from heaven. And so, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to be aware of where we are at, which is in your presence, and that your spirit is here, and that you desire for us to hear you speak to us this morning, that you would have your way with us. Set aside the weaknesses of this preacher, the weaknesses of our own ability to hear, and grant us your grace and spirit, that truly that which the Spirit says to the church today, we would hear, and that we would hear with a heart for obedience and faith and trust in you. And we pray that you would be glorified through this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what comes to mind when the word guardian is mentioned? Stop and think about the word guardian. Okay. What comes to mind? Guardian. For me, The first word that comes to mind is responsibility. And for some of you, you've actually been guardians or experienced that. But for others, a guardian, especially for those of you that were orphaned or abandoned to the street, the word guardian could be one that brings great comfort and even joy. For I once was lost, but now I am found and provided for and protected. And so guardian is probably the best way to describe the key word that the psalmist brings up again and again and again in our psalm. Now, unfortunately, I think for most of us, the word guardian is something that's over there. In other words, unless you have and been in need of one, or unless you've been called upon to be one, it's kind of one of those words that's what somebody else does, or that's what somebody else experiences. And so the question that I'd like to ask you is, are you aware of your need for a guardian? I mean, that's a little bit offensive sometimes. Well, I'm to the age of majority, I don't need anybody. I can do it all by myself. I can stand on my own. I'm an adult. Who needs a guardian? Children need guardians. Not so, says the psalmist. As I thought about this idea of guardian and the idea of something that is of great comfort, the person that came to mind was my mother. I don't know if anyone ever heard of my mom's life story and life experience. When she was 1 year old, her mother died giving birth to her sister. And at age six, her father, she was very sick, and he took her to the hospital, and the doctors told him that she was going to die. And so he didn't feel that he could handle that, and so he left her in the hospital and moved to Chicago. She never saw him again. So from age six, my mother was an orphan, or a ward of the state. The guardian that she had was the state. And in some ways, the guardian was good. She was placed in foster care, and yet there were some of the situations where she was placed in where she was abused. And it was the state, finally, that pulled her out of these abusive situations and finally placed her in with a family that raised her like a daughter, to the point where there was great love and compassion in that family. And so when I was born, I was the first person in her life she could actually say, this is my flesh and blood, in all of her life. She understood what a guardian was and the preciousness of it. How about us? In our pilgrimage to the celestial city, we face mountains of dangers and challenges. Though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, the psalmist says, for our great shepherd is ever with us to guard and guide us. Jesus is that guardian that ultimately the psalmist is describing and the one that we need. We are in the Psalms of Ascent. We are Psalm 121, second psalm. Just as we looked at Psalm 120 last week and the comment was, why does this one fit into the Psalms of Ascent? This one is just the opposite. It sure fits in the Psalms of Ascent, doesn't it? It's a journey song. It's a travel song or a pilgrim song. It is the journey from up to Jerusalem for the pious Israelite of the Old Testament as they went up to Jerusalem and then with the goal of going up to the temple in celebration during the feast. It was a song of transportation or travel to appear before God in the place where he has set his name. And so it is one of the Psalms of Ascent. And if you notice, it is definitely a journey song. From I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The description here is, and we have to stop and think about it, is it's a travel by foot through a rugged terrain with dangers. What kind of dangers did the pilgrim, did the traveler experience on his way or her way to Jerusalem? Well, there were at least three that I can think of. Number one, this is a desert area, or semi-arid. Basically, it was a desert. What happens if you run out of water in the desert? There's no 7-Elevens along the way. There's no wells along the way. It's a dry and thirsty land. And so the sun is your enemy. It's your helper in the sense of it helps you to see around, but it also is beating on your head, drying you up. You could die of exposure. Secondly, you had criminals or robbers living in the hills. They stayed and waited. Jesus tells the story of a man who was traveling down that path from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell among thieves. That was not uncommon. That was normal. It was a dangerous place to travel, especially if you traveled alone. Many times people traveled in groups for protection. And thirdly, it was a dangerous area because there were wild animals there. And again, you're not driving in your car, you're walking along, possibly alone, in the wilderness. And Scripture describes at times people being attacked by bears or lions that were alive and on the prowl during this time. And so when the psalmist looks to the journey to Jerusalem, it's not a piece of cake. It's not a cakewalk. It's not necessarily a no-brainer. It is a dangerous trip in a desolate place. And so the psalmist raises his eyes as he looks for the goal, which is the presence of God or the blessings of God in the temple. And yet what comes to mind is, I'm in need of help. As I look up ahead of me, where is my help going to come from? Now, some would respond, well, I'll use my own resources. I'll come prepared. I'll bring a weapon. Or I'll go with other people. I will make sure that I don't run into the problems that I face. I will prepare. Or if you want to follow the great sage wisdom of Benjamin Franklin, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. God helps those who can't help themselves, is what the Scripture is saying. Secondly, there are those who, when they're in trouble, look to family and friends. And that's not wrong to do, to look to family and friends, but if we are relying on our family and friends exclusively, sometimes that's like a reed, a broken reed, that when we lean on them, it breaks and goes into our hand. Some say, well, that's why there's government. When I'm in trouble, I look to the government. We have a new president. And we look to the president as the savior of all our needs will be found in the government. Now, I'm almost mocking, aren't I? But it's sad that I mock. There are people that actually seriously answer that's why this government is there. The government can fix everything. But that's not what the psalmist says nor teaches. No, God teaches us. The psalmist ignores all of these and many other seemingly valid answers and looks to the only true and eternal help. Matter of fact, just for those of you that may be wondering why I titled the sermon, "Who is Your Ezra?" That is because the word Ezra is help. Just for those of you that were wondering about that. Almost forgot it. Who is your help? The answer, and the only valid answer, I believe, is verse 2. My help comes from Jehovah, from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. As the psalmist looks at the path before him, the challenges and the trials, his responses should be our response. Only the covenant Lord and Creator of all things, the Lord God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, is our Ezra, is our help. Now, this truth was not foreign to the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism. In understanding what we've confessed, we both confessed it in the Apostles' Creed last week and in the Nicaea Creed this week, we declare that we believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Where do you think they got Maker of heaven and earth? Verse 2. The answer is, what do you believe? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that in them is, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ, his Son, and my God and my Father, in whom I so trust as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and further that whatever evil he sends upon me in this veil of tears, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. So notice that statement, that the understanding is that he will provide for me all things necessary, and that even the evil things that I experience that he sends to me sovereignly in this veil of tears, even those evil things, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, willing to do it, and will do it. And so the understanding of the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism was the understanding that they drew from Psalm 121 and other passages, that God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he is our only help in time of need. Secondly, we find the rest of the psalm is simply an exposition of what he just said. Our help, our Ezra, is from the Lord. And this is what, here is a litany, here is a fuller understanding of how he is or will be and is our help. So my point, and that's the second point in outline. Our help is also our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Now, where did I get that phrase, ruler, guardian, guide, and stay? It's found in one of the hymns, and it was ringing in my ears as I was studying this. It's hymn 616 in the Trinity. We sang it before Sunday school this morning. Our help is our guardian, guide, and stay, and ruler. Notice that, and here's the point, notice that the assurance that the psalmist has, the assurance that we should sing with the psalmist, is that our help is based upon a person and his work. Not only is he the Almighty Maker of all things, but he is personally involved with you. Notice, he will not suffer your, singular, your foot to be moved. He that keeps you, singular, will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. So the psalmist says that he is the one who keeps his people. He keeps you too. He is personally concerned and involved with you. If you are one of his sheep, he guides you. He calls you. We read earlier in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am that guardian. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. And he says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and they follow me. And so if you are one of Christ's sheep, then you are also one who can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my guardian, my keeper. Spurgeon, in his study on this psalm, he struggles with the understanding of verse 1 where he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. And he looks at it a little bit differently than I pointed out to you with the dangers. He talks about it from the perspective of the help as being in the hills as well. And this is what he had to say. Help comes to saints only from above. They look elsewhere in vain. Let us lift up our eyes with hope, expectancy, desire, and confidence. Satan will endeavor to keep our eyes upon our sorrows, that we may be disquieted and discouraged. Be it ours firmly to resolve that we will look out and look up, for there is good cheer for the eyes, and they that lift up their eyes to the eternal hills shall soon have their hearts lifted up also. The purposes of God, the divine attributes, the immutable promises, the covenant ordered in all things, ensure the providence, predestination, and proved faithfulness of the Lord. These are the hills to which we must lift our eyes, for from these our help must come. Did you catch that? The promises of God, the divine attributes of God, His promises, which are immutable, His covenant, His providence, His predestination, His faithfulness that have been proved. These are the things that we look to. This is where our eyes should go. In other words, to God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Notice the psalmist goes on to explain and focus in particular what I think is important for us as travelers. Notice he says, He will not suffer your foot to slip. He that keeps you will not go to sleep on you. Behold, he that keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleep. In other words, positively, he is ever aware and vigilant. He will not allow you, as you are traveling the rocky ground of life up the steep mountains, when you're about to slip and fall, he will not allow that to happen. He will not allow your foot to slip. He's aware. He's aware. He's awake. He will catch you when your foot slips. He is ever faithful to his promises. He's the keeper of Israel. And in so, he will also keep you as well. Then the psalmist shifts attention from that of sleep or slumber and walking. He focuses our attention on the Lord as our guardian and as our shade. He says, the Lord is your keeper, verse 5. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. He is our eternal shade, our eternal covering from the heat and rage of not only the sun, but of men, and even of justice. He is our shade upon our right hand. I don't know about you, but I know the difference. When I am in a very hot time, hot place, the difference of walking into the shade, what a difference that little movement can make. Well, how about so where God is our shade? As I read that, I'm reminded of Israel traveling through the wilderness for 40 years, and who was there to cover them? the Lord in a cloud brought a cloud that covered them and led them, but also covered them as they traveled through a howling wilderness. And with that cloud, he also provided food and water and provision. And so the psalmist says the same type of language. It is the Lord who is your guardian, guide, and stay. He is the one who provides your needs. He is the one who provides you covering and shade from heat. The psalmist goes on to talk about a third attribute in verses 7 and 8, and that's our third point. Our help will persevere for us even forevermore. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now that word preserve there is the same Greek word that we have, Hebrew word that we have for keep. Actually, the psalmist uses this word six times. The English translators understood that the keeper, God as keeper, had to focus in verses 7 and 8 on the future, on his continuing to keep. And so they used the word preserve. I chose to use the word persevere because, in a sense, that I think is also another way to describe what the psalmist is describing. Notice this time element that's added. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy coming, going out and the coming in from this time forth forever. You see that? And so he's not only talking about the present, that the Lord is with us as we travel, but that he also will be with us as we travel. As we go in and as we come out, the Lord will persevere. He won't give up in the middle of the journey and say, okay, you've sinned too much, you're on your own. Or you've gotten mature enough, go for it. I'll just stand back and call me if you need me. No, he says that the Lord will keep or guard into the future. It may be humbling to realize that I need a guardian. But the psalmist says it's not humbling at all. It's glory. I need a guardian. I need a keeper. I need someone to persevere for me. Some people attack the Reformed faith in this area of the perseverance of the saints and reject that doctrine. But yet what we understand when we say the perseverance of the saints, we understand it's God persevering for the saints. It isn't me. It is primarily God that does the work of persevering in me. He who has begun a good work in me will complete it. Notice what the psalmist is concerned about when he's focusing on the future. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Doesn't mean that we won't pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but while passing through them, we will not be overwhelmed to destruction. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In many ways, Psalm 121 is a reflection of David's meditation on the Lord in Psalm 23. Do you see that? The connection between the two? In other words, Psalm 121 is an exposition of that verse in Psalm 23. So the Lord will preserve us as we travel through this veil of tears. I find that phrase to be fascinating and very appropriate. Veil of tears. We pass through this life as a veil of tears and entering into glory or joy on the other side. And also he goes on to say, and he shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve your life. What was the primary fulfillment of this promise and the basis for this promise on into the future? What was the primary fulfillment? That God will guard your soul. That God will preserve your soul. Spirit, but in particularly the Spirit comes through the work of the cross. It was through the cross, it was through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise of the sending of the Holy Spirit that is the foundation, the prime fulfillment. He shall keep your soul because he has redeemed you, and he will complete it by sending the Spirit to carry you throughout. Notice finally, the Lord shall preserve you going out and your coming in from this time forth. As you read that statement, I hope your mind goes to where my mind went, and that is Jesus' own description of himself as the Good Shepherd. But he also called himself in that same passage the door of the sheep. And it is through the door that we pass to go in and out and find pasture. That Christ is the door where we find the blessings of God. We go in and out with confidence. So this psalm is a psalm of trust or a psalm of confidence. How does this apply? How does this affect us? How should Psalm 121 be used to comfort and encourage? What is the cash value? I hate using that phrase, but I love using that phrase at the same time. What is the effect? Well, I think, again, the Heidelberg Catechism, question number 28, answers that. What does it profit us to know that God created, maker of heaven and earth, and by his providence upholds all things, that we may be, anybody? Patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and what is future, have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and have good confidence in the future. There is cash value for that psalm. Patience in adversity. Why? Because I'm not alone. No matter what the adversity is, the psalmist says, you are not alone. The Lord is your guardian, is your keeper, forevermore. Thankful in prosperity. Why? Because where did it come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And good confidence that no matter what's coming down the road, around the next bend, I have good confidence that because no creature can move without his say-so, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we do thank you for this song and pray that you'd help us to not only hear but also to memorize and to sing this psalm or to quote the psalm to ourselves as we travel in the day-to-days. Help us, Lord, just like we know Psalm 23 by heart, many of us, so also, Lord, teach us this psalm so that we may truly have it there as a resource when we are traveling through dangerous places that we live in this world. That we would be able to have that resource to call to mind and to trust and to have confidence in you who are our guardian, guide, and stay. as well as our ruler. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would do that work within us. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen us, Lord, as you did the psalmist, that we would truly look to you and find in you our needs met, and that we would glorify you in words as well as deed. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.